Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Bowen. We've been having some technical difficulty. So, hey, hang on here. And do we have Mr. Dane on the phone? Professor Gary Lee?
It beats.
Yes. Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Okay.
Hello?
I can now. I've been just having... All right. Good. Are we all here? I've been having some problems here. But finally, I think I've got it fixed here.
Okay. Is Mr. Brian on now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All right. So what you... And guys, what you do, go ahead and go with you, because I'm going to go back and edit this. So go ahead on with your show, and let's pretend it's starting right now, Dane, and... let's take it.
Okay.
I'm going to, once you go ahead and just pretend, I'm going to come and wrap up the show. I'm going to edit it and put it back up.
All right. We'll do it. All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, the Wolverine, here, filling in once again for Professor Gary Lee. So we're on the Living Legends Parts Unknown, kicking it with the Wolverine, and so we're gonna have a great guest for you tonight, Mr. Bowen. You there, sir?
I'm here.
How are you doing?
Hey, good, sir. Mr. Bowen, you got anything you'd like to throw at the ladies and gentlemen at home before I bring on my guest?
Oh, sure, sir. You know, we always have some great things going on, and this week we're really excited. I guess I'll see you in a couple of days. I'll be in Texas and hanging out, looking for a great weekend with, you know, Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum. So really looking forward to that. Everyone, if you have not been to Texas to the Sport Karate event with Professor Gary Lee, you're really missing a treat. Great people, great event, super fantastic time. We're going to be hosting a book signing. We're going to be introducing some different products on meditation. So we just got a lot of great things that we actually have going on. Next week, we're going to be the official launch of our publishing company, and that is Elite Publications. And we are looking for martial artists. We're looking for 10 martial artists that would actually like to publish a book. You may have been thinking about it for a long time. You may have a training manual you've been trying to do. Maybe that's just something that you feel like you need to do for yourself, or something to do to enhance you as a martial artist. I wrote 3 or 4 books. My first books were just writing about things that I knew that my corporate coaching clients, they were interested in. And I used the books to be a big business card, which really launched my corporate coaching career. And I coach all over the world, companies like Nike, Raytheon, Coca-Cola, American Express. But my writing was a big part of actually getting noticed. And we're actually setting up a whole course around public speaking and how to become a better speaker, how to grow your martial arts business by improving your speaking ability, how to be able to launch this off into corporate business. So, yes, we have a lot of things that's coming up. Don't forget, Joan, we have the AMAA Legends Awards Banquet, and that's going to be in Las Vegas, and that's the 27th and 28th. And so just go to our website, which is www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com. Nominate your martial arts hero. Hey, sir, that's it for me.
All righty. Well, that sounds good. Appreciate the info. And before I bring my guest on, I'm going to just give you a little information about things that we have coming up. Of course, Mr. Bowen so I'll reiterate, the Living Legends Celebrity Roast of Professor Gary Lee coming up this weekend, the 27th and 28th at the Houston Galleria Hotel there in Houston, Texas. It's going to be a great, great event. He's got Kata Wars going on. You have to have won at least 100 first place to be invited to that. Also, he will have the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Challenge. And if you're, you know, a Shotokan stylist, Shoto-ryu, Kyokushin, Wateru, Gojo-ryu, Shorin-ryu, Isshin-ryu, then you compete in your selective style. Then all those winners will compete against each other for one winner that will go up against the people that won the Open Challenge, that will then also go up against the number one and number two seed of Kata Wars. So that's going to be a good time. Then turning right around in November, he has the roast of John Natividad, the Giant Killer. That's November 1st and 2nd at the Sam's Town Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you can get information on both of those by going to the website, Professor Gary Lee's website, and buying your tickets there. And if you don't know the I will give you the information right here for that. Hang on. That is www.sportkarateArchives.com. www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com, or you can call him at 713-483-0476. You can also contact Miss Pagels for information on the Ohana Open that is also going on this weekend at Kata Wars and during the Living Legends Roast, and her number is 281-221-2145, and you can speak with Ms. Pagels, and she can get your students signed up for the Ohana Open. But at this time, we'd like to bring on our special guest. He is not only an arbitrator for NASCA, but he's won a world champion and on just about every sport karate circuit that there is. He's the coach of the U.S. team for the ISKA. Mr. Ray Bryan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here, Dean.
Hey, man, sorry about the technical difficulties. That's what happens in live radio, but we got it going now, so we'll just keep on keeping on. Before we get in, I know you have an event coming up in another week because I'm going to be a part of it also. So I've got Professor Gary Lee's Kata Wars to finish up, and then your competition, and then I got to really jump into this movie that we've been cast for. So a lot to do, but look forward to your competition. Look forward to Professor Gary Lee's competition. But like I say, before we get into talking about your competition, let's talk a little, let the people at home, just give them a little background on yourself, when you got started, who you started under, what got you started in the martial arts, and some of the things that you've accomplished, because you've accomplished a lot of things, and that's one reason I wanted you on the show, because this is the Living Legend show, Parts Unknown, and so we need to get you out there, get people knowing about what you've done and what you've accomplished.
Yeah, I started karate back in, I was about 11 or 12.
I know you're 100 years old, so.
Yeah, I'm 50-something now. I was young. I started karate because a girl kept beating me up. And that's the truth. A lot of people won't tell the truth, but I had a cousin who did karate, and I didn't at the time, and she was a little older than me, and every time we had a family function, she'd beat me up. So when we moved to Colorado, I got interested in karate, and Kenpo karate actually first. And then we moved back to Florida, and I met Tom Bentley and some guys and got to doing Shitaru at their school, and I've been doing that ever since. I've been a Shitaru stylist for over 40 years. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just got my 6th degree, and I've been fighting in tournaments.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I started fighting in tournaments back before they had pads. First tournaments I fought in, we had no pads. It was traditional, I mean, that was the sport then. There was no pads, anything. And I was about 16, 17, and as I got older, pads came in. I started fighting. I did all the circuits in Florida, FAME, FBBA, and I did well. Then I won those. I got nominated the top martial artist in Florida by FAME and them. And then I went to NASCA, and I started competing in NASCA. I've been doing NASCA for years, and then I did Waco, WKC. I fought with Don Rodriguez, coached me with Waco for years, a bunch of times. And, I fought with WKC, all the different, pretty much at WUCO, the AAU group. And I've done pretty much all that. And then I did ISK. I won ISKA Worlds. And then I started coaching it. And I took it over, and I love it. We travel a lot. I feel honored to do ISK because it's so big. It's not like a lot of other organizations. It's the world's biggest martial arts organization. A lot of people look at it for the U.S. Open and all, but they don't look at ISK has hundreds of events every month all over the globe. And, from kickboxing to Bellator to Glory and all that. And it's just kind of neat to be a part of that and to run the amateur side of it and for the U.S. team. And they're big events. They're big, first-class, well-run events.
Right, yeah. Well, I know that it's, big at the U.S. Open. And like you say, a lot of people, here in the United States, they look at the U.S. Open as that's a ISKA. It's actually its own thing going on inside of the NASCA competition. So it's a double thing. Now, this year, the U.S. Open is going to start on Thursday. So it'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, starting out Thursday with us old guys, the seniors. But the ISKA is actually going to start on Monday. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, they haven't nailed down. I'm not sure if weigh-ins will be Sunday or Monday. But the World Championships for the amateur team associations will start on Monday, and all the countries will bring their teams in, and we'll start the competition ring sports. They have full kickboxing, Muay Thai, K1, everything for amateur, plus tatami. The same thing we do. Mat sports, point fight, and everything. That'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they'll roll right. And then, And then right into Thursday's the Open. I think it's kind of cool because a lot of the Europeans can get a double, you know, two tournaments for their buck. You know, they're going to be there anyway, so I think it'll be cool for the whole event as a whole, because not only you're going to be at the Open, which is big anyway, you're going to have an influx of European competitors there to compete with. So which will make it even neater. I think it'll give it I think it'll be a big bonus for everybody. And the Open, like last year, was crazy because, you know, they had so much going on. They had the grappling competition. You had the Sport MMA, the U.S. Open. Dory was in that week. You had the Punaki. Yeah. You know, I mean, you had like six events that week, those 3 days, you know, last year. Last year was crazy. And if they have that plus this, it's going to be like it'll be bigger than any martial arts event that goes on, you know what I mean, in the U.S. or anywhere, I think, for that week.
Yeah, because definitely last year it was, I mean, this past year it was running me crazy, because not only was I competing, but I had students competing, you know, in the NASCA sport karate stuff. I also had people competing in the MMA, the kickboxing, all that. So
yeah.
You're running every which way.
It's kind of a competitor's dream.
Yeah, and then I had this little guy screaming at me every 5 minutes, wanting me to go somewhere else and judge. But I don't know if you know who that guy was or not. But.
Yeah, and you need to stay where I put you.
So every time I turned around, it was like, get away. So I was like, man. But yeah, that's a good time. Well, you know, I look forward. So you have a competition that's coming up. Not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's the Sunshine Showdown here in Florida, and we're doing it. It's the first time we've used that name, but it's also not only it's an open tournament, just like any other tournament. We're using NASCAR rules, and it's very simple. The one thing we do that I think is cool is, most places you go and do a tryout, they charge you to compete, and then they charge you to try out. You know what I'm talking about? Like another division.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I do one. If you come and compete at the tournament, just like a regular tournament, if you qualify, you know, first, second, third, you're going to automatically get on the team. We're not going to make you pay to do another tryout. The reason we can do that is we found over the years is, like, let's say you got three people in the same division, like 13 to 15-year-old kids or 13 to 14-year-olds.
Right.
When you actually get three of them, usually the weights are so different that with the weight classes you can split them up. You won't have all three of them competing against each other and fighting anyway. Now, forms, it's going to be a little different because, you know, we have traditional forms, creative forms, musical forms, all that in the world. They're going to have to compete against each other. But in the fighting, it's kind of cool because you can take – 4 to 5 people in one division age group, and they're going to actually spread out in weight classes where they're not even going to fight each other.
Right.
So to me, it was stupid to have a tournament and then have all these other weight classes people have to pay to enter and try to do. And so let's just break it down, make it simple, and, you know, not, you know, kill the parents and competitors trying to charge them to death. Let's just have one thing. They come in and pay and they compete and that's it. And that's kind of where, you know, I think it's a good way of doing it. And it makes it easier for the competitors. It makes it, you know, very simple. They go to they can go on Juventex, pick their division, come and try out.
Well, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I'm coming. I've got several students coming also. So we look forward to it. I tell you, these past few weeks has been a blur for me because I'm jam-packed. I've got, like I say, Cod Wars. Professor Gary Lee always, you know, he's, you know, really wants me to perform well there. So trying to work on that. And then I got cast with this movie, and it's just been this the movie thing really just hammered me.
It's good. You need to stay busy.
Yeah, I do need to stay busy.
Yeah, because when
exactly
you're not busy,
right.
When you're not busy, you sometimes don't do the right thing, so let's stay busy.
I tend to get in trouble. Yeah, you're right. I tend to get in trouble. That's yeah. So keeping busy. That this has done. So, you know, it's good. I like being busy. I like it's so funny because, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Once you start being a competitive martial artist, you know, a lot of people, they'll start out doing it and they're like, man, it's just too stressful. But it's something about just seeing if you can get all that done under all that stress that makes people that's been competing a while do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh, I know.
So it's like, I got the movie, I got Kyle Wars, and I got your event, and I got them all three coming up, and I'm like, okay, I got to work on that, I got to do that, I got to do that. But it's like, okay, can I get it done? Yeah, I'm going to get it done. You know, it's just, it's kind of like a competition almost within yourself just to try to get ready, prepare, you know, get your mind ready and all that stuff, not to mention just the normal day-to-day stuff of running a martial arts school and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't know. So where exactly is your competition going to be at this next weekend?
It's in Leesburg, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah,
Leesburg.
It's in Leesburg.
Now, how close
is that? We're right in Central Florida. We're probably, Dean, about Leesburg's probably 35, 40 minutes from Orlando. It's
okay.
Between Orlando and Ocala. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a nice, and there's plenty to do. You know, we have Mount Dora, which is right down the road. If you get done early, you want to go hang out, do stuff, there's plenty of stuff to do. We have hotels right down the street from us. You know, I posted two of them on our pages where they can go there, and they're not expensive either, $60 to $80, and they're nice, real nice rooms. It's a Hampton
right,
and
right.
a Microtel, or you know, nice setup. You know, it's not bad at all. But I want to comment on something that you said about you know, staying busy. You know, I started back competing this year for fun, but one of the main reasons I did it gave me a purpose to work out more.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I think that with competing it gives us a reason to focus a little bit more, and actually it gives us more of a purpose to train because you know you have that event coming up every month or every other month.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I try to tell a lot of people. You know, since I've been diagnosed with diabetes, a lot of people's like, well, you know, I don't know why you compete. That's rough on you with diabetes, you know. I mean, you could die on the mat, you know, your blood sugar drop. But, you know, yeah, all that's good and all. But if you just, you know, they're like, well, you can just work out, you know, to help. But it's not the same because I've always trained at such a high level that without competition, you really don't train at the same level. You know, you train, but – if you get tired, you stop, or, you know, or if you got something else to do, you stop, or, you know, so you don't train at that level. But if you, like you say, if you know you have competitions coming up, you know, you have stuff to do, you know, you focus harder, you try to eat better, you try to get, you know, you do everything you can to get in shape, to gain that edge, and you work each and everything that you're doing, you know, harder and harder and harder, just, you know, just to prepare. Because, you know, you got to not only just prepare mentally, but physically. And, you know, it does. It gives you that driving edge. And, you know, as people get older, it just makes it easier for people to just stop. You know, they're just like, oh, well, I'm older, so I'm just going to stop. You know,
This year, you know, I've watched a lot of the guys this year, and I have some guys that I really admire. I mean, there's many people I admire that I used to fight with and do stuff with, but there's some of the guys out there today, some of the older guys, Joey Shiflett and some of them, man, they're real inspirations to me. You know, Joey's 60-some years old. Man, he still moves good, kicks good, does everything. And people like that, you know, I said, you know, when I'm Joey's age, I hope I'm still doing it like that. You know, Marty Knight's another one, you know. I mean, those guys have been doing it forever. They're in their 60s and still competing all the time. It's very impressive to me.
Yeah, and they do a good job too. I mean, I'm on the same team with Joey and Marty on the League of Angels. So we have a pretty good team. But like you say, those guys, they're in their 60s and they still, man. I mean, they are superb at what they do and get out there. And like you say, every other weekend there they are. And like you say, that's the thing. And two. You know, you have the bond and the camaraderie with a lot of people that you get to see, you know, on the circuit and stuff, and that you get to, you know, cheer on and things of that nature and watch to get better and, you know, accomplish goals.
And like
you know,
you said
as life moves on, that's what it's all about. Go ahead.
It's like you said about teams. I'm on a team this year that I really, really like. I'm very funny about teams. I've been on teams, but I really, really like the guys that are on my team. I love Tony as a coach and the guys who are there. They're a great group of guys. Yeah, I'm on Team Legends, and I really like the whole group. They came over and trained with us. We've trained together a lot. The best way to put it is they're true martial artists. They're all Kempo, but they're true martial artists. They're humble. They're a good group of guys, and they're all real good fighters. I really, really have enjoyed this year competing and training with them, and looking to keep doing it next year. So I mean, we already had a talk about that. Really, really like the guys on the team. Some of them I'm still getting to where we can communicate good because I'm working on my Spanish. But they're a good, great group of guys.
Yeah, that's the main thing is, you know, like you say, is just being part of something, you know. And I'm sure you have some of your students compete and, you know, just like we do and stuff.
Yeah, well, my other half competes all the time It's kind of nice. That's why I'm back. That's why I need to keep training, because if I don't, she's going to beat me up one day. So I got
to stay right.
Yeah.
I mean, probably a lot of people looking to beat you up. So it's probably a good thing to keep training.
Yeah, there always is. Always somebody around the corner.
Hey, it wasn't too long ago. I mean, just a few weeks ago. I mean, they probably still after me, but you know, technically I've got a group of ninjas after me. So, I mean, you know. I mean, that's pretty cool. I haven't seen them yet, but then again, they're ninjas. So,
do they have a name?
They have a name, but we're not allowed to mention it, but on the radio. But the funny thing is, I mean, they're ninjas, and I hadn't seen them. So, I mean, you know, but then again, like I say, they're ninjas, so they could just be hiding. They could just be waiting for that opportune minute, you know. And then again, it could be that most of the time when they see me, I've got a tomahawk in my hand or something, and they're thinking maybe that's not the best time, you know.
I think I'm better prepared when I'm walking around than I am in a ring, because I don't have anything but my gloves on.
It'd probably be best to jump me while I'm at a karate tournament. That would probably be the safest.
Yeah,
point,
definitely.
You know.
I know it would for me.
Yeah. Well, I know you're not too far from us. I know you're about, you probably maybe what, 6-7 hours from Fort Walton Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about a 6-hour drive for us. Yeah. And we got that's like we have open training. We do a lot of open trainings, and
we have
an open training this Saturday, and then we'll be over at Tony's school with Team Legends the next 2 weeks, getting ready for Worlds. And then we go to Worlds, and we won't have another open training probably till after Christmas. Because it's hunting season, and me and Mouse hunt. So we usually don't have open training.
Hey, I know I hunt too, you know. I used to take my daughters with me hunting too, but you know, me and some of the guys, we already got it planned out to go hunting. I know Professor Gary Lee, he's a big bass fisherman, and I like to fish. Now that I've moved down here out of the mountains, you know, I'm just learning about, you know, ocean fishing and saltwater fishing.
Yeah. I like saltwater fishing a lot better. I freshwater fished my whole younger a lot, but I prefer saltwater.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the difference is, you know, in freshwater fishing, you know, you're catching like, you know, three or four different kind of fish. You're catching a bass, a big mouth, maybe a small mouth or a perch or, a bluegill or, you know, something like that. But, you know, a catfish. But when you're fishing in the ocean, you have no idea what you're going to catch. I mean, you know, that's the one thing I like about it, and the fish are, you know, big, you know. And when they run, you know, when they're running, you know, like down here when they're running, you can, you know, you can catch a lot of them, you know. So that's a good thing.
You can catch within your limit. Always remember that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. 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 Well, we do that. We stay within the limits because I'm all about the rules. I'm all about the rules. I am really strict, all about the rules. However, a lot of people do break the rules, and that's usually what gets me in trouble, because, you know, then I get excited.
They break the rules and they're with you.
Yeah, well, if they're with me, then yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
the other thing.
That's a different story.
The other
but,
thing
yeah,
I forgot so, I kind of forgot to mention is about our event was it's at one of our schools, and you can look it up on Facebook as Central Florida Karate Multisport or CFK3. And it's a double gymnasium. So, you know, I mean, it's a huge facility. So when you come there, you'll see it's an actual double basketball court that we have our school at. And it's
That's
our building
awesome.
There. Yeah, it's a huge facility. So we have it in it's right in our place. It's right in our building, and it's huge. So plenty of room for, you know, 8 to 10 rings easily, and we have seating and everything. So it's right there. So that's one thing.
Yeah,
that's kind
good.
Of, that, yeah, it's nice because we don't have to rent a place. We just can have it at our own place.
Right. That keeps your overhead down, and you know, and also, you know, you have everything there that you need, and that kind
yeah,
of stuff is kind of set up. Yeah.
And I don't know if you look
pretty good.
Yeah, and I don't know if you everything. Oh yeah, we'll run you Ventex. We have all the TVs, all the monitors, everything, just like NASCAR or any other event. And the other thing, because we have our event, we do the first two divisions are $55.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at most tournaments today, all of them are $65, $75, $80, even your smaller ones now.
If you're lucky.
To compete at.
And then it
if
goes
lucky,
up from
so,
there.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice if you got somebody who wants to just come and spar in Ducata or do, you know, do weapons in Kata. They're only going to have, you know, two events is the same price, one or two. So it's a cheap. I think we do, what, $10 for each additional? It's only $10 for
yeah.
each additional, so even if they do three, it's $65. So
That's good. Yeah, and that's great. Now, that's another reason I wanted to get you on here, just, you know, get some people interested, get some people knowing what, you know,
yeah.
what they need to do and where they need to go.
And Doris Brothers is doing our awards. They always do nice. We always have nice awards. So, you know, the awards are they're good. We do like a 3-4 foot trophy for first and right on down. So,
right.
So it's a good setup. It's fun. It's a fun time. We are, you know, we feed our judges good. So if you do help, I'll feed you good.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll definitely help in, you know, if you're going to be.
bring your dog.
Oh, Asamani will be with me. He will be with me. He never leaves my side. He stays right with me.
Now, Dean, I know I messed with you pretty hard at Dixieland about your dog, about his name, but where did you come up with that name again?
Well, it's Latin, you know, so the military thing, you know, using Molon Lavi, Simplify, you know, all that kind of stuff. I thought, well, you know, I want to, you know, name him something that's Latin, that's really cool, that's different, you know. So I decided because he's a Cane Corso American Pit Bull mix, that's a pretty impressive hybrid. So I've decided to name him Asamani, which means unstoppable.
Okay. Because the first time you said it, I thought you said Oscar Mayer. And I was like,
yeah.
What?
Well, a lot of people do. That's my southern accent. And I may have been ordering a hot dog when you heard that, too. Cause I like hot dogs. You know, So it's actually it would be Asamantiti, but you know that's a lot to say, so I just abbreviate the last off of it, so I just say Asamanti, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's fine.
It makes it a lot better. It makes it a lot better. Then you know
I just wanted to mess with you about that.
Yeah, no, that's no problem. That's no problem, man. I tell you what, that dog is, I mean. Well, they told me he would be smart, but he's actually probably smarter than I am, but that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But he's really smart, you know. But so he's doing good with his training, he's doing good with that, you know, with being a diabetic blood dog, a lot of people see him and because he's young they're like, hey, he can't be a service dog yet, he's too young, but you know, you can't you know, it's not like training a CNI dog or you know, an emotional support dog, he has to know the highs and lows, and it takes so long for him to learn that, you know, the best way is to start them at a puppy, and in that way, you know, they learn it, and they learn it really good, and he does good. He did alert me one time at Dixieland, and, you know, as soon as I come off and check, Michael Patetti was there, and Michael's like, yep, you're high, so you know, it was crazy because he, I mean, he caught it even though I was out there on the ring. So he does really good.
Yeah, you were doing forms, weren't you?
Yeah, I sure was. Yeah, and yeah, he caught it. So you know, that was good. So you know, he's tracking, he's on point, and you know, doing good. So you know, I look forward to seeing what all he can do.
When you come down our area, you have to come out and see our dogs.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know you got a lot of them.
Yeah, we got 13 beagles and then two house dogs.
Man, that's, yeah.
But we have kennels and septic tanks and, you know what I mean? It's all set up nice. They got automatic waters and fans and, yeah, you have to come see it.
Yeah. Now, do you use your beagles for hunting? Or?
Yeah.
There's nothing I've been to the store. Got sure in there.
Thank you,
you're
more sure.
Somebody's on with us.
Do what?
I said somebody. I hear somebody talking.
Yeah.
Hi, it's me.
Yeah, I do too. Sometimes you have phantoms come on the radio. I don't know. So it's like a phantom. We'll be talking, and then all of a sudden somebody starts talking too. So, but you know that happens. But yeah. So. This weekend,
Aloha.
we have Cotta Wars. Next weekend, we have the Sunshine Showdown. Man, did you pick that name because it's hard to say? Sunshine Showdown.
I did it. I did it to tongue-tie Virginians.
That's a lot of shish in there. So,
Aloha.
Yeah, man. Hey, Matt, that kind of talk gets you shot in Virginia.
Yeah, we wanted to get it. But I wanted to have something to do with Florida and karate. So if you look at it, you know, you'll understand it. That's why we did the Sunshine State Showdown. So everybody kind of say, oh, it's a, you know, right away, you know, it's in Florida.
Yeah. That's good. I think that's good. It's probably better than, you know, the Orange Showdown or something like that. You know, it's probably a better name, you know.
There were a couple of the names I like, but they had been used before. So I didn't want to use them.
Is that you, Professor Gary Lee?
Yes, it is. Hey,
Aloha, sir.
Guest.
How are you doing?
Are you from Leesburg, Florida?
No, that's where my event is. I have a school there, but I'm actually in Umatilla's where I am.
Well, I won a bass tournament in the 70s in Leesburg.
Yeah, the Chain of
Lakes
there.
Yeah, I won a bass tournament there.
Yeah, it was probably, was it in Lake Griffin?
I'm starting to cross the lake, Dean. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, sir. Just talking with Ray and
hey, Ray, how you doing, man?
Good, real good, man.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just finished my therapy and I turned in, and I appreciate you being on the show and everything, Ray. Thank you so much.
No problem. I love being on there. I like aggravating
Dean,
so I enjoy
Dean
coming on.
Dean Piles is first class, and
I'll
let him talk about Cotta Wars this weekend. But we got a big event this weekend in Texas, and we're sold out. We got so many people coming in for Cotta Wars and the Ohana Open and the banquet. And I guess I'm going to tell some stories about my escapades when I was young.
Yeah.
You don't want to believe it, but there are some stories.
There's also I'm trying to remember his name, Ohana down here, that has a stunt place, I thought.
Oh, Kim Kahana.
Yeah, Kim Kahana's right here in Lake County.
Yeah, he'll be in Vegas. He's a professional stuntman. They used to have a stunt thing with Tadashi Yamashita in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, too. His son was killed a few years back. He was a stuntman. And but Kim and Sandra, they're all good friends of mine. Yeah,
real good people. I've met him a couple times, and he has a place down in, I think it's down in Groveland or Wildwood area down here.
Yes, sir. He'll be in Las Vegas November 1st and 2nd with Dean and I. But, I wish I would have known you, and we invite you to Cotta Wars this weekend.
Yeah. Next year, we'll just plan it.
Well, God bless it. Dean, is he a fighter or is he a kata guy?
I do kata. I'm going to be doing kata. I just haven't told Dean this. But next year I'm going to start back doing forms. I used to do forms. That's all I did was forms and traditional weapons, and I fought. But then I've just started. I fought more. But next year I'm going to come out and do forms again. So,
Kata Wars is pretty cool. You got to have 100 first places just to be invited, or you're personally invited by myself or Mr. Roy Kerbin.
Okay.
And of course, if you're a friend of Dean's, he can sponsor you, and that'd be really cool.
I've won plenty of stuff over the years, so I think I could qualify.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
He won
the
shortest legs in kickboxing competition.
Cool.
Yeah, Dean always gets the best
Florida
haircut.
Yeah, you know where Stanford is? You know where Stanford, Florida is?
Yeah, yeah.
On Lake Monroe?
Yeah, Lake Monroe.
I used to teach at the Navy Academy on Lake Conroe. Lake Monroe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know right where it is, yeah.
We airboat
up at the Lake George where the old bombing range used to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let Dean talk to you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but put me back on the air.
That's okay, Professor. We're glad to have you on here. And like I say, we pumped up Kata Wars. And between the movie and all, I trained hard, today. So, I'm ready to get down there and compete because, this movie's driving me.
I'm ready to see my student be in a movie called The Coward. I love it.
Yeah, I like the name.
The name was good. Ray first tried to sue the film company because they said that was his nickname, but
when I saw the name of it, I was going, man, that just suits Dean.
Yeah,
that's
what most people think. They're like, that'd be a good movie for Dean to be in. So I think that's how they got it for the Wolverine. It was like, man, we got to find somebody that this would suit. But we're going to knock this movie out of the park. It's going to be great. Since we're talking about it, I'll throw a little blurb into the radio show about it. Bullying is really become an epidemic, and a lot of school shootings and things happen, and people, they blame guns and everything else. But when the true cause is usually, if they trace it back, is because of bullying and somebody being bullied, and that's their way they snap and they get even. Well, the movie The Coward is about not only someone that's being bullied, but the effects it not only has on that person, but everyone around it.
Let me tell you something. When I first came here from Hawaii, I was dark-skinned, slant-eyed, Japanese Hawaiian kid. I was 14, and I was a black belt, I was kind of shy. I never used my karate tool my senior year, but I was bullied a lot because I didn't want to hit nobody. But I understand what being bullied is about.
Right, and that's the good thing about this movie is it's not going to be like The Karate Kid. It's going to have a broader spectrum, of bullying and a promise that was made, and then eventually it's time to do what you got to do, and just like I said in the thing, sometimes you got to fight when you're a man, and so it's gonna be on. They've cast a lot of good people. So far, so it's going to be good. I think right now they're really looking for some people that can really be strong bullies to really sell that, because they want them to really be, people to hate them.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah.
I would be more than happy to volunteer to bully you if they'll let me.
Okay. they probably will, but the only problem is we'll have to shoot all the scenes with you standing on a bucket. So
that's okay. I'll get a step stool.
Sir,
what's your
first name again?
His name's Ray, sir.
Ray. I was thinking about throwing a banana inside the ring next time Dean competes. That's bullying. So you slip on a banana peel.
Yeah. I tell you, well, Professor, I tell you, he wins a lot because he has the best hairdo.
Well, that,
yeah.
He's not bad looking for a guy, you know.
I tell you what, Ray's got a crush on me. Hey, the last year at Cotter Wars, Professor Gay Lee had, his name just left me. I can't believe it. Anyway, had glass breaking glass on the floor, and then I had to get up
Perry.
And do my – do what?
A.J. Perry.
Yes, A.J.
Yeah.
Mr. Perry. I can't believe I couldn't remember A.J. Perry.
Yeah, I know A.J.
Yeah, Mr. Perry, that's who was breaking – A.J. Perry, he crushed glass, and then he put it on the floor. Then he stood in it and, you know, did a spinning back kick and broke some cinder blocks, you know, a cinder block. And then I had to end up – then as soon as he got done, I just had this feeling. Professor Gary Lee was like, would you do your kata? And I'm, like, looking at the floor and seeing these little tiny pieces of glass, and I'm like, what the – so it was glass all over the floor. I'm like, yeah, that's not the good place.
I don't think
to be
I'm
going to try.
I told him, I'll do it after you sweep it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I remember back in the 80s, I was a little, you know, I did a lot of Japanese kata. And one time, this arbitrator, he's my friend now, he disqualified me because I wore these puka shells from Hawaii. I wouldn't take them off, so he ripped them off and threw them in the ring. So one time I went to a tournament, I don't know who decided to do it. They broke all these puka shells and threw in the ring, and I had to step on them, and I kept going, and still won.
Yeah, that's
– yeah, that,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, them things are sharp.
Well,
but, me and Ray –
it doesn't matter what you step on.
Yeah, yeah, Ray and I, we see each other every weekend somewhere. It's always a good time when we're around. Me and Ray like to keep people guessing on whether we like each other or we don't, because we say some crazy stuff at tournaments to each other and just walk off and then passing. So we keep people confused all day long. They're like, I don't even know
well,
what's going on.
Well, let me tell you something. Ray, you mentioned Joey Shiflett. He was a white belt on my team back in the early 70s, and we won in Battle Nashville.
Yeah.
That's how far I go back. Yeah, with Joey Shiflett.
Yeah, that's what's funny. I was telling – we were talking with some of the guys the other day, actually, and it was funny because I was looking back trying to remember tournaments, you know, that all the tournaments you compete at, you won and all. And some of them were very big tournaments, but they're not even here anymore. You know, they're non-existent. Like – yeah, I remember in Texas, I went into the Houston Open. Al Garza had a big tournament there.
Yeah.
Right there by Six Flags. Yeah. And, you know, I won that tournament, but it's gone. You know, there's so many tournaments.
Well,
in
1992, 93, when Al did his tournament, I was doing Six Flags Astroworld at the Dome. And I entered that tournament, and I was disqualified because Chris Casamassa and Rocky DiRico, they beat me that day because they said I had props, and I wasn't allowed to use props in NASCAR. But I love Chris. I love Rocky DiRico.
Rocky,
but, you know,
hey, if you see Rocky, anytime I see Rocky anymore, Rocky comes to tournaments, he has the best coffee. It's funny. He's gotten into gourmet coffees, and I saw him up at Rhode Island this year, and Rocky always brings me a cup of coffee. He brings it in the thermos.
Well, I used to make fun of Rocky because he'd do La Bamba. And I said, you don't look Mexican. Why would you do that? But he beat everybody with La Bamba.
Yeah. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he was real big into dancing, line dancing.
Yeah, he's
still
country
line dancing.
His wife still do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start a line dancing team.
Dean, I've seen you do kata, and I think that's the closest you're going to get to good dancing.
That's probably true.
Well, he does haka for me every year, Ray. You know what haka is, right? The New Zealand Hawaiian war cries?
Yeah.
He does the haka for me every year.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he dances a jig for me every year with the haka.
I'd like to see that, Dean.
And I do it with some of the baddest men on the planet, retired Colonel Phil Torres and some of those people.
Yeah, Phil Torres, yeah.
I would say that my Haka team, my Haka guys are probably their group of some of the toughest guys on the planet. And that's pretty good. So it's all about war, and I have definitely assembled a group of warriors to do that dance. A matter of fact,
I'd like to see it.
Well, film it this year for sure, but I tell you, it's a goosebump, tear-jerking moment when they show so much respect to you like that.
Yeah, it's a thing, right? You know, they do it for respect and stuff like that, and so, you know, we do it for Professor Galileo. I did it a few years back, to honor him, and now it's just become a tradition. And we, you know, we just, I put together a group of warriors, and we do it for him every year, and we'll do one this weekend, and then we'll do another one, at Mr. Natividad's Roast. Heck, I may even do one at your competition, Ray, just for the heck of it.
Hey, Wolverine, not to interrupt, but just tell me that Auntie Jessie Bowen will be there. Do the autograph session. Paul Powell will be doing his sabbatical seminar. You will be too. Garrett, my son, is going to do a seminar at 3:00 for everybody. It's free with all the ticket holders. We got Lawrence Arthur coming in too from Virginia to do better business. So this weekend is going to be a big, big weekend for anybody who wants to just come and hang out with some pretty cool people.
Yeah, I know we can't. Yeah. I would love to come, I know next year we definitely will put it on our calendar to come.
Well, Al Garza, I'm roasting Al Garza next year.
Professor, if Ray's not under house arrest, he'll be able to come next year. See, he's under house arrest, so he won't be. You know, he can't leave. That's why he's having the guy's tournament.
As long as I get it okay by my POs, I can go.
Oh, okay. I love it. This is one of the best interviews I've heard in a long time. Thank you so much, Ray. I like to laugh, especially since I had the stroke. It gets remotivated to laugh a little bit.
Laughter's a good cure. I laugh every time I see Dean.
Yeah.
That's funny.
One thing that goes on a lot around me and Ray, and that's a bunch of laughing, you know? Because he goes in and he's not really the full size like a regular martial artist. A lot of people, you know, they think he's in the kids division. So we have to tell him.
Am I 53 this year, right? Yeah, I'll be 53.
You're a youngster. You're a youngster.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I
tell everybody
I'm
too.
I'm going to grow up one day.
What style are you, Ray?
I've been doing Shitoru for over 40 years.
Oh, wow. You know, we're going to have a bunch of Shitoru, Kyokushin, Goju, and Wado Kevin Funakoshi traditional tournament this year.
I started my Shitoru with the NKJU way back with Soki Belargent and Kuniba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you ever heard of
he's
Jazz
really good, professor.
From Cleveland, Ohio?
Who?
Shitoru school in Cleveland, Ohio. Dan Sword.
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, we used to fight on their Sunday. We used to have an end-of-month tournament on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we'd warm up there. James Cook, me, Monsman, Everett Eddy. We'd show up and just have fun and get warmed up. And at Shitoru school, I used to love their katas. They're beautiful katas.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Ray does real good. You know, not all joking aside, Ray does do real good, Professor, and he's a real good fighter too. So that's why we brought him on the show, not just because he has a tournament coming up, but because he actually is a martial artist that gets out there and puts it on the line. He's been representing for years, and he does a good job. And he don't mind getting out there and mixing it up. He's the real deal.
Well, Ray,
I
can't tell you how much we appreciate you being on the show. And Dean is not only my student, he's a protege. He does kata like I used to do, which leave an impression of it's real and give people goosebumps in the crowd.
Yeah, he's one of the only kata guys that shaves his legs. That I see out there with the short gi.
Make
Well, good, because I'm having a niece beauty contest, Hawaiian beauty contest, where we're going to judge the legs of every person that wants to come and enter. And I've got a golden dragon watch to give away to first place.
But Dean's going to be tough in that one, because he shaves and lotions a lot. I've watched him at the tournament.
I got some good legs.
We've got
the thing on this, Professor, those kind of contests hurt Ray's feelings because his legs ain't long enough to qualify because there's a height requirement.
No, they're not.
Well, we've got the cutest chicken legs, we've got the hairiest knees, and we've got the best jacked up toes. And bright ankle bracelets and tattoos are pluses.
He's got an ankle bracelet. It's got a beeper on it.
Listen to me.
GPS. Got a black box tracker box on it.
Colonel Torres, Daryl Stewart, and Jim Passy says, look out, because they're coming after you with their legs.
Oh, man. Well, that's going to be tough, man. I don't know. That's going to be tough.
Dean, next year are you gonna change your hairdo a little bit to do something new?
For this movie, I'm gonna have to grow it out. So you know, here for the next few months, I guess I'll have to grow it out a little bit.
You're gonna wear it like you used to, just do a mullet.
Yeah, I'll just do a mullet. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'm gonna look like an old aging Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, you already taught like him, so that's cool.
Yeah. So that's the goal. That's the goal. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. This radio show has been a blast. I knew having Ray on here, it would be good to get people get a lot of laughs. So he's a good guy. I pick at him a lot, and he picks at me a lot. But we like each other. It's a good. Good to have him on the show. Look forward to his competition coming up, weekend after this weekend. And I look forward to Professor's competition.
This weekend,
so I can get some of this stuff out of the way, so I can, focus on, shaving my legs and stuff like that and keeping up with.
Well, Dean, before you go, when you come to mind, my whole thing is I want you to qualify so you can represent the U.S. next year.
I'm gonna bring it hard. That's my two goals is get focus on getting your competition and Professor's out, get them done and get on the team with you, and represent the U.S. for you, that's what we're doing.
To me, because of this show, because of what Dean believes in you, I will pay your entry fee to Pro Division Cotton Wars next year, and I'm a man of my word. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll come up.
And because you
I don't
do
know that.
Promise,
that
you
won't
do a Shito Rukata.
Oh yeah, I'll do a Shito Run, but that might not work out for you, Dean. If I come.
Well, there's a height requirement in my division, so you'll be all right.
He's picking on you, Ray. He's picking on you.
He can't.
It's right.
He can't help it.
Everybody always thinks he's sitting down.
Yeah, but the funny part is that, we were talking about the other day, I prefer fighting tall people.
Yeah.
I would rather fight
you punch
over
in the groin.
Yeah, over 6 foot or so. I just always have done well with tall people. So, and you're only, about an inch or two taller than me, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 6 foot, so.
Well,
you
Ray, do you remember when, before they had computers, they would say, line up, right? And everyone would line up. I'm short. I'm 5'8 on a good day. And I would line up to the biggest heavyweight I could find. So I figured in my head, if I could drop him and beat him first, then everybody would say, that little short guy can fight.
You know the other thing, Professor, we were talking about something the other day before we let you go, unless y'all got to go real quick.
No, we're good.
Go ahead.
This is about sport karate, and it's a serious question that me and some of the older guys brought up the other day. I look at tournaments today, and I love tournaments. I love competing. I like NASCA. You know what I mean? I love it. But
sure.
Do you feel that in the day when I first started competing, there was no weight classes, It was black belt.
Well, in the day, when we competed back in the day, Ray, it'd be light and heavy. And then the guy started bitching about having a middleweight division.
Right.
And so they did light, middle, heavy. And then what really screwed up things was they made super lightweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight.
Oh, I know.
Super heavyweight, all these weight divisions. And everybody got spoiled.
Yeah. I thought one of the best tournaments I ever won besides my first couple world championships was I fought at the Navy base in Orlando.
Yeah.
You might even have been in the Navy then, but they had a tournament at the gymnasium there right off of, I think it was Highway 50 maybe, that went right by the Navy base.
Was that before
there?
Disneyland or after Disney was built?
After Disney was built.
Okay.
And in the Navy base there, they had a gymnasium there where they had the Navy base downtown Orlando there. And I went and fought at that tournament. Heck, this was 1985. I was like 18 years old, maybe. And and there was no weight divisions. There was like 30-something black belts, and everybody lined up, and they just fought.
Yeah, that's old school.
Yeah, no
bad. Yeah, and the amazing thing about that story, Professor, is – Ray was the exact same height then as he is now.
He's gonna pick on you, Ray. Hey, just tell the short people have more fun because we got to reach for stuff.
I tell you what,
you know what my excuse was, Ray? I'm not bragging. Honestly, I'm not bragging. But Ed Parker called me the other night, and I was talking. And we were talking about, karate tournaments. So I got my diary out, and I was disqualified from 1981 to 1998, 221 times, for fighting. And 75 of those times was backhanding the groin. And I said, well, you know what? Because I'm short, I can reach the groin faster.
Yeah.
Well, I'm joking aside, Ray does a good job.
I
used to get the grind just for the cup check, you know? Yeah. Yeah. You know what I hated back in, as I got more and more into karate and competing is I'm a kicker too. And I used to hate going out to the West because they all used to kick me in the groin when I went out there.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember, 1981, Roy Curbin invented the 2-point kick, and the national guys like us, I loved it because when I was in Texas, that meant if I kicked the groin, I got 2 points. If you got kicked in the head, you got 2 points. The national guys like Keith Vitale and other people, they loved it because they can come to Texas and they get 2 points for every kick because back then it was 1 point for everything.
Yeah.
And, so I'd live to kick the groin for a good 2 points. And then I started backhanding the groin, and people didn't like that.
Yeah. It's a point.
I know, but still. The
world's full
like,
of mamby-pambies, Professor. That's why the Wolverine is always having to call them out because there's so many crybabies out there.
What is a mamby-pambie anyway? You've been saying that to me for 5 years. What is a mamby-pambie?
Well, a mamby-pamby is that, you know, kind of is somebody
is
that,
like
you know, is always crying.
They is that,
they
is
want
that
a
like
trophy even if they lose.
They dance?
Yeah, they dance during the kata. They dance during the kata. They want a trophy even if they lose. You know, everything's got to be their way. They always filling out a hurt feelings report. A mamby-pamby couldn't handle being around me and Ray because we'd hurt their feelings all the time. We'd make them cry.
Ray,
because
Ray, I got to ask
they
you,
wouldn't
you
be used to
this. Ray, I got to ask you, Shitaru, does it make you sick when you see someone make up a kata and all they do is dance? They don't do bunkai or any application?
Well, I call it, you know, there is no bunkai to it.
Right.
I don't think it should be classified as karate. It should be, like XMA forms, I agree with that because they classify it.
Mamby-pamby division.
Yeah.
Mamby-pamby division.
There's nothing they do that's applicable. And I give them credit for being able to do the flips and all that. I mean, they're great athletes. But,
sure.
But it's not an art. It's not a martial art. It's more of a
gymnastics. You know who Jim
art.
Harrison is? Yes. He's my instructor, Jim Harrison.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Harrison told me one time, he goes, Gary, you're a dangerous kata man. I said, Mr. Harrison, I don't want to be a dangerous kata man. I want to be a dangerous fighter. He said, Gary, you don't understand. When you do kata, people don't want to fight you. That makes you a dangerous kata man.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, and the thing is, what's funny to me is I watch somebody, you know, you watch a lot of the newer people, they don't understand what katas are. And if you, and even people that are in the traditional divisions today, if you can, if you ever ask them, like, hey, what's the application to that move? Or what's your, yeah, they have no
clue.
They
won't know.
They don't know. They don't know.
No, they don't know.
Well, Ray, I'll tell you something that's really cool about Pro Division Kata Wars that Mr. Roy Kerbin from the Fort Worth 4AM made up with me. We have five different judges. One judge watches just your upper body movement. One judge watches kicks. One judge watches the bunkai and the application of your technique. One judge watches your kion, you know, your fundamentals. And one judge just watches you step out of ring. So you're under a microscope for the first time in kata.
I watched a bunch of people do forms. This year, back being out and judging and on NASC and a lot of other tournaments. And what's funny is I always start out watching the feet, and the first thing I look for is to see if they're gripping the mat when they do san chins or if they, you know, their stances. And they, none of them do it. None of them do it.
Well, what Kata Wars does, we're not better. We just do something different. We put you under a microscope, so there's no more kicking on the ball of your foot. There's no more doing a checking, like a reverse punch with your little fingers sticking out.
And you have to keep your butt under. You have to keep your butt under you.
Well, that's
why
watches your fundamentals.
Yeah.
What about no grabbing your blade if you're using an edge weapon? You know, a lot of NASCAR people now, they do spins with their swords and they grab the blade and they're spinning it, and I'm like, and grabbing it, doing. I'm like, what are you doing?
Dean, I'm the only one when you competed at the last tournament. I was judging. They asked me to come and judge. I was the only one that gave a deduction because the guy grabbed his blade. And the other two judges didn't even catch it and don't even know the rules. That was the sad part.
Well, Ray, I'll tell you a little secret.
It's supposed to be an automatic disqualification.
Yeah.
Ray, I'll tell you a little secret. Back in the day when the NBL changed the rules, no live weapons, and it had to be, you know, fake weapons. I did a sword. That's what I was known for. And I would go to every tournament. I'd go through the ritual of blessing the sword, chalking it up. And when the judge would come up to me and go, Mr. Lee, we have to see your weapon and see if it's live. And I'd look at him and I said, no, I've already blessed my weapon. I can't pull it out until I do my form. You can look at it after I get done. And some tournaments I was disqualified because they realized it was a live weapon. And some tournaments, they just go with the flow because I never used a fake weapon in all my career, and I competed in kata for 50 years.
I agree.
Well,
if these guys use
a live weapon nowadays, it'd just be a bunch of fingers laying in the ring, wouldn't it, Ray?
and toothpick bows. I want to see a real bow in traditional forms.
Well, I'll
tell
you something. I used to sharpen my chopstick when I do – you know, empty hand kata with commas or size, I'd always bring up my chopsticks as a weapon because chopsticks are a weapon. And they'd be sharp. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, always a live weapon, bro, when you do kabuto or, you know, eye with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
Dean does a good job. I try to help him out, but he's a lot to work. It's a lot of work.
Well, we get rid of the Southern accent and their pretty boy looks. We were on the right track.
Yeah, we'll get him straightened out one day.
Yeah,
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying.
Well, don't change your accent and don't change your looks because that's what makes the Wolverine.
Well, I tell you what. It makes Ray like me. I tell you that much.
Yeah, I love messing with Dean. Well, I like Dean. I like messing with him.
Well, Ray, I tell you what, you never met me, but you can go to YouTube and only believe how what you see. But just type in Sport Karate Museum or my fights are under Professor Gary Lee Blitz, And you can
I've
see
seen
what
a lot
I used
of
to
them.
Do a little bit.
I've
oh,
seen
really?
A lot of them. Yeah.
I'm honored. I'm honored.
Yeah, I'm a guy that I'm always on studying, looking over the years. I've looked at everything. I remember when you first
wow.
opened the museum out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm honored. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, but I have, yeah.
yeah.
I tried to watch
That's
Dean's fight, but it was all kind of blurry. It looked like a WWE wrestling match.
Well,
there's some fights I haven't
that.
Seen. No offense against my kung fu friends like Al DeCastro's and Tara Cassell and James Cook, but I used to love to watch some kung fu guys. And so I was told that there's some fights of me beating up some kung fu guys. They're like 6'5", so you might enjoy that.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you know, Professor, but I fought a lot of kung fu people, and there's one group in particular that always impressed me over all the other kung fu guys I fought.
Who's
and,
that?
That was Master Chan Poi's guys.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he had the Wallum Temple here. He has one in Orlando, and I think they opened one in New York or somewhere, but
Yeah, Wallum, that's a popular kung fu style, Wallum.
Yeah, I mean, he had some guys that were, I mean, you know, they did beautiful kung fu forms, but they were good fighters, and it's very rare that
you know Glenn Wilson? He's from Florida. Glenn Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good kung fu guy.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's rare. It's not as common to in the sports side, you know what I mean? In
sure,
the sport, the kung fu guys who fight a lot, there's just not a lot of them.
No, but
right.
the real ones are very dangerous, like Al DeCastro's character.
Oh, yeah, Al, them definitely are. Al, yeah. Yeah, but you know what I mean? I'm talking about as far as the sports side, like doing in competition. And you just don't, you
well,
know,
they, that's why they did the wushu to, you know, do their sport thing. But God bless some of those kung fu guys. Some are pretty good. Like Don Wilson, even though he gets a bad rap, he was a kung fu guy.
Yeah, I know Don. Not real
yeah.
good, but he's from here in Florida. He's from right down here in Cocoa, actually.
Right, Cocoa Beach.
Yeah.
Yep. I used to, that's where some of the guys I trained with a lot that taught me a lot about sport karate are from that area. Donnie Hare and
yeah.
Mike Smith and Mike Green, they were guys I came up fighting with.
Well, that's cool. Do you know the Yoshinkai guys by Jerry Blank and Cheryl Wheeler?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Mike Foster. You know Mike Foster?
One of my best friends. You know,
he
was a great animal. Great
yeah,
fighter.
Yeah, a bunch of his guys, I fought Calvin Thomas and a whole bunch of the Yoshinkai
yeah.
guys. I came up fighting with them and the Kyokushinkai too, Bill Noblock and a bunch of those guys from over
yeah.
here in Orlando. I used to go fight with them all the time.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know Ron Slinker and Steve Shepard?
Yep.
Good friends of mine. I talked to Steve today.
Yeah. Steve invented
yeah,
he invented the shoe, the kicking shoe.
He invented the Ring Star shoe, yeah.
Ring Star.
Yeah. I remember
yeah,
when he first
one of my
that.
First sponsors. He sponsored my son and I, Garrett Lee, and then he sold it to Century. But,
right.
you know, God bless Steve. You know, he was the only fighter that promoted, too. You know, he was a promoter. And he fought in his own fights, and he actually won a couple of world championships.
Yeah, no, he was a good kickboxer.
Yeah, Steve was a real
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know all those guys.
Yeah. I bet you know Bill, too. You know Bill?
Yeah, Wallace.
I call him Uncle Billy, Bill Wallace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah he moved here to Tampa.
Yeah, how about Mike Anderson?
I know Mike. He started Waco.
Yeah, well, Michael started more than that, top 10. And
yeah.
he was a pretty damn good fighter out of Texas. You know, he was in
you know what's
team.
Funny is I was at a tournament. He was like, I mean, I don't know how old Mike is now, but this was a while back.
Oh,
but
he's got to be 80 years old now, about 80.
He was 60-something and entered a tournament and fought and did pretty good.
I don't doubt
he fought
it
because
he's ornery. Mike
yeah.
is ornery. Yeah.
And I thought that
but,
was hilarious.
You know, all
he was
boys from Texas. We get old, but we're tough.
Yeah. One of my favorite Texas fighters, he actually came and watched me fight Waco in Ireland, is Ray McCollum. He's, I love
Ray
McCollum.
McCallum? Yeah.
Yeah, Ray's a great guy.
Good people.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And
you know, I'm honoring his student this year, Tim Kirby, and
yep.
his student, Steve Sosa, and they're getting to the Rocky Derrico Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, that's cool. And I'll tell you a funny story about Ray.
I can tell you a funny story about Ray. He came to one of my Living Legends tests, and he said, excuse me, and he stopped, and he bit the guy on the butt, and he didn't apologize or anything. It was just part of his way of saying, you're a black belt. You need to take it.
Ray, you better not bite me on the butt, bro.
Dean, I'm not getting near your butt.
Okay, good. That's good deal. Good deal. Because I know you're about the right height. I don't want to be get a tournament and feel like an alligator latched onto my rear end.
Probably all the people that's bit your butt, we wouldn't even feel it.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. All right, guys,
well, I love
awesome
your sense
show.
Of humor.
All right.
Matt.
Professor,
I
was very honored that
this.
You came on and I got to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure, Ray. Don't forget, next year, I'll pay your entry fee into the Cotter Wars Pro Division.
I'll remind him
because Ray don't take his ginkgo biloba like he's supposed to, so I'll have to remind him.
I think what it is, my brain goes so fast, it sometimes gets slow.
Yeah,
well,
that's what mine does. It speeds up till it slows down.
we'll do that. Well, y'all gentlemen, thank you very much, and have a great night.
Thank you, Ray, and I'll see
you
next weekend, buddy.
Okay, I'll see you then, Dean.
All right, bud.
And Professor will be there next year for yours.
Okay. Hey, Wolverine.
Yes, sir.
Let's plug on Las Vegas a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Dean, I'm going to see. Can I go ahead and sign out?
Yeah.
No,
you sign out, Ray. You're good to go.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother. November 1st and 2nd this year, we're roasting John Natividad. And for the History General Summit, we're giving away 100 movies of The New Gladiator autographed that will be live there. Benny Aquita, John Natividad, Emil Farkas, Ron Martini, Tom Schlesinger, plus special guests like Dean Pyles and Roy Kirby and Chuck Merriman. It's going to be a who's who of old guys, old timers from the 60s and 70s at Samstown Casino and Bar. It's right off the strip. And we're going to have the banquet on Saturday, a black belt test on Saturday morning for Lorenzo Sandoval. And Dean will be sitting on the board for that. And then we got some really good surprises for the Las Vegas event coming up November 1st and 2nd. If anybody's interested, you can call me directly at 713-483-0476. And for more information about the museum, you can go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And again, a big shout out to my producer, Hanchi Jesse Bowen, who really cares about karate and cares about what he's doing about the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book and allowing Wolverine and I to be on the air. God bless you, Hanchi Bowen.
Yes, sir. And
that took a mouthful to say that. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, look, we appreciate everyone coming on and listening to us tonight. We're glad that Professor got to get in on the last part of the show. It made it really interesting. We're glad to have Ray on there. Remember, we got Title Wars this weekend and Sunshine Showdown and the weekend after. So you got two weekends back to back, and then right after that is Manny Rez tournament. So the Pro Am is right after that. So there's three weekends of competitions back to back. We hope to see each and every one of you there. We like to say we thank you for letting us come into your home and listening
always.
To us gab every Tuesday night. And Professor, if you're still there, love you, sir, and I will see you in a couple days.
Okay,
all right, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, you too, Ray. You too, buddy.
Ray, you still there?
Yeah.
I tell you what I might do just for the conversation tonight. I might get some of my Ookies to throw in a bunch of banana peels when Dean does the cotta this weekend for you.
Do it. And
yeah, it's Dean, really past Ray's bedtime, Professor. He's supposed to be in the bed. It's past Ray's bedtime.
Oh, it is.
Okay,
I'm usually in bed
the
way
banana
before
peels
now,
so they'll be greasy.
Yeah.
Okay, thank
you,
Ray.
Have a good night.
All right, you too, okay, bud.
Bye, Dean. I'll see
sign
you in 2 weeks.
Wolverine. I'm going to go.
All right, buddy.
You.
We'll see you, Ray. All right, Professor. I will see you in a couple of days, sir.
Yes, sir. I can't wait to see you, Brother Dean. God bless you, buddy.
You too.
And thank you, Hunter.
God bless you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sign off, Dean. I'll be signing off. God bless you.
God bless you.